Welcoming all of you to the Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Kalashuddha Mataji. Mataji is going to enlighten us on the topic of the nectar of Sri Nityananda Astakam. Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you very much for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic. I'll hand out the call to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you all so much for this wonderful opportunity. We wish you all a very, very happy Sri Kamada Ekadashi. Hare Krishna. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanath Swaminiti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Jaya Pataka Swaminiti Namine Nama Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayine Gora Katha Dhamadaya Nagara Gramatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschartya Deshakarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gauravaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangolangaya Devri Yat Kripata Maham Vande Shri Garunganatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishvaram Hare Krishna. So today, from today, we will start to glorify Sri Nityananda Ram. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, this Nityananda Ashtakam, a very beautiful Ashtakam, 8 verses glorifying Sri Nityananda Prabhu, and it is written, composed by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. So, in honor of the Adi Guru, the original spiritual master, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, we thought that it would be very appropriate to start a session on this Adi Guru, Sri Nityananda Ram. So we really thank all of our organizers who allowed us to do these sessions on glorifying Lord Nityananda, the Adi Guru. So this is, again, Sri Nityananda Ashtakam by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, text 1.
Sharot Chandra Prantim Spurada Amalokantim Vajagate Hari Preman Mata Drita Paramasatvam Smita Mukham Sada ghurnan netram kara kalita vetram kali bhidam bhaje nityananda bhajana tarukandam niravadhi.
Translation. The spear of his bright lotus face resembles a wandering autumnal moon. His pure complexion glistens. His gait is like that of an elephant. He is utterly intoxicated in Krishna prema, and he is the personification of pure spiritual energy. His face is smiling. His eyes are ever rolling. His hand holds a staff. And by the performance of Nama Sankirtan, he dispels the forces of Kali. I perpetually worship Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the root of the Krishna Bhakti tree. Sri Nityananda Prabhu, he is glorified here by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur as the root of the Bhakti tree, the Krishna Bhakti tree. Nityananda Prabhu is the root of that tree because the spiritual master is always at the root. If we just worship the spiritual master, if we just take shelter of the spiritual master, it is like taking shelter of Krishna. That is why it is said when we pour water at the root of the tree, then there is no need for us to individually water the leaves, individually water the branches, the twigs, the fruits, the flowers. We don't need to do that. If we just simply water the root, every single part that is connected to the tree gets nourished automatically. That is the glory of the root. So here we see that Lord Nityananda himself is compared to being the root of the bhakti tree. But when a leaf falls away from the tree, that particular leaf is no longer connected to that tree. So how much ever we pour water in the root of the tree, that leaf will not get nourished. So the only duty of the leaf, the flower, the fruit, is to just remain connected to the tree for however long they can stay. That is why it is said that the guru, the spiritual master, is non-different from Krishna. And worshipping the spiritual master is actually non-different than worshipping Krishna. So when we pour water in the root, when we are worshipping the spiritual master, it is like worshipping Krishna himself. We sing every morning the 8th verse of Sri Guru Vashtakam. We sing, Yasya Prasadan Bhagavat Prasado, Yasya Prasada Nagati Kutopi. Hayantuvam Stasya Yashastri Sandham Vande Guru Shri Charanarvindam. We are singing in this final verse of Sri Guru Vashtakam that worshipping the Guru is equivalent to worshipping the spiritual master. Sorry, worshipping Krishna. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada. Yasya prasada nagati kutopi. That without the mercy of the spiritual master, we cannot actually reach Krishna also. We cannot get bhagavat prasada. We cannot get the mercy of the Supreme Lord if we do not worship the lotus feet of the spiritual master. Similarly, the verses previously we sing, Sakshad Hari Thela Samasta Shastra Uktasta Thabhav Yata Eva Sati Kintu Prabhurya Priya Eva Tasya Vande Guru Shri Charanarvindam. The Guru is Sakshad Hari. He is directly representing Krishna. He is not different from Krishna. He is Sakshad Hari. So Lord Nityananda here, the Vrindavan Das Thakur, he is glorifying Lord Nityananda Ram as the original spiritual master. That he is actually the root of the Krishna Bhakti tree. Bhaje Nityanandam Bhajana Taru Kandam Niravadhi. Taru Kandam. Taru Kandam means he is the root of this bhakti tree. And we seek shelter of Lord Nityananda. And how beautifully is the magnanimous Sharadchandra Bhante. Sharadchandra means that the Sharad, you know, during the month of the autumn season, Sharat Ritu, the autumn season. The moon in the autumn season is supposed to be the most pleasing, the most cool, the most soothing. The rays coming in the autumn moon is supposed to be like that. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu's lotus face is just like that Sharat Chandra. His complexion, his kantim, is always purada amala, it's always glistening, he's shining. Lord Nityananda always shines. The reason why, you know, these personalities,
they appear so beautiful, they appear so effulgent. There's a very specific reason for this. That these wonderful, glorious personalities, they actually have Krishna residing in their hearts. Krishna has already made their hearts a permanent residence place for him to reside. And because Krishna is residing in their hearts, therefore, they appear so effulgent. They appear so bright. So now the question comes that Krishna is residing in everybody's heart as the Paramatma. Then why isn't everybody appearing so effulgent? That is a very, very justified question, a very logical question. The difference is that such personalities, the effulgent personalities, they have realized, they have accepted, and they have made efforts for Krishna to reside in their heart. They know it, that Krishna is residing. They honor it, and they reciprocate with Krishna residing in their heart. Krishna is not an unknown resident in their heart. At least for some of us, at least definitely for me, I know that I do not recognize Krishna to be a permanent resident in my heart. We don't. Consciously, how many of us really recognize that Krishna is always present? That he is not only seeing what we are doing, but he's also knowing what we are thinking. Krishna is Bhavagrahi Janardhan. Krishna knows every thought, every word, every action that we are doing. How many times do we recognize that in our own lives? They're the pure souls. They always recognize that. They know that Krishna is always with them. Srila Prabhupada, when he would wander the lonely streets, the cold, snowy streets of New York, in 1965, when Srila Prabhupada came to New York, when not many people were actually with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was practically alone. But Srila Prabhupada writes in his diary that he never felt alone. He always felt the presence of his spiritual master. And thus by, he always felt the presence of Krishna. That is how pure souls reciprocate with Krishna. And that is why they carry such potency that just by seeing them, they become attracted to Krishna. That is the potency of pure souls. That is the potency of, you know, just like anyone who would see Lord Nityananda, they would get infected with pure love of Krishna. Nowadays, we were just meditating on this fact yesterday evening. My Prabhu and myself, we were talking. And we were saying that nowadays, we are now, you know, in this condition of this pandemic of COVID-19, that social distancing is advised. And even going out is not advised because anyone who may be a positive can affect us. We can get infected. In those days, Lord Nityananda, when he would come out into the streets, people would also get infected. That was good infection. That infection would make everyone dive into the pure ecstatic love of Krishna, Krishna Prema. Anybody who would see Lord Nityananda would just dive into Gauranga's mercy. Dive into Gauranga Prema. That is the potency of Lord Nityananda. He would infect everybody. How? By the way that Vrindavan Das Thakur is talking about here, that his complexion glistening, he was such a bright personality. He is such a bright personality. And how is his gait? When Lord Nityananda would walk, just like you know, he would walk like an elephant, gajagatin. Such a beautiful comparison. You know, an elephant, his gait is like that of an elephant. There is a very specific reason why the gait of an elephant is being told. It could be told, you know, peacocks are also very elegant. There are many other animals who are very elegant. But why here are we talking about the gait of an elephant? Why did Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur choose to talk about the gait of an elephant in comparison to the way Lord Nityananda Ram would walk? Very special reason. You see, when an elephant walks, the elephant walks, it doesn't really care who has come to see the elephant walking, who is in the way of the elephant, or anyone, you know, the dogs or any other small animals, envious creatures, they may come in front of the elephant and go bow, 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 bow. They can do anything. They can just do anything in front of an elephant. The elephant doesn't stop. The elephant doesn't stop and say, hey dog, why are you barking at me? The elephant doesn't do that. The elephant is in its own, you know, world, just walking with its head held high. The elephant walks. It doesn't care for anybody else. It doesn't care who's coming to him, who is glorifying him. If he wants to go someplace, the elephant will just go. It will not look who is in the way, who is not in the way. So Lord Nityananda Ram, his only objective in life is to give pure Krishna consciousness to anybody and everybody who come in touch with him. And therefore Lord Nityananda does not even care what anybody is talking about him or anybody is saying anything otherwise. Lord Nityananda doesn't care for anything of that sort. So we see that these qualities of Lord Nityananda are automatically there, we can see in all of our Guru Vargas. Our Guru Vargas, they are unstoppable. They don't even wait for anything to be told by anybody. They are so attached to the words of their spiritual master. They are so attached to fulfilling the words of their spiritual master, their instructions that they have received from their gurus, that they go to any extent without caring for their personal, you know, convenience, for their own physical bodies. They are unstoppable. They follow this quality of Lord Nityananda, that they walk like an elephant. Their gait is like an elephant. That nothing really stops an elephant. If an elephant wants to go to the river and take a bath, nothing in the world can stop him. Can stop that elephant. If the elephant wants to go into the garden to eat something, nothing in the world can stop that elephant. So similarly, we see Lord Nityananda Prabhu, how and why Vrindavan Das Thakur is comparing Lord Nityananda's walking to the gait of an elephant. And it's so majestic. You know, elephants, they are so majestic. You know, when the elephant walks, the forest comes to a standstill. Nobody can go when the elephant is running or if the elephant is walking. No other animal dares to come in front of the elephant. That is why also, when Lord Nityananda would walk, no one could dare stand in front of Lord Nityananda. Just his purity, just his elegance would just, you know, everyone would become frozen. Just, you know, everyone would become like statue. As soon as Lord Nityananda would come out, everyone would just get so infected with Gaura Prem. Just by looking at the beautiful gait, the way majestically Lord Nityananda would walk. That is the potency of Lord Nityananda. And we see that, you know, with Srila Prabhupada, how Srila Prabhupada, when he would, you know, walk, in either be it in front of the Rath Yatra or on morning walks, people would stand and look at Srila Prabhupada. But who is this person? How beautiful is he? He's an old man. Srila Prabhupada would captivate the hearts of everyone who was looking at Srila Prabhupada. Our own Guru Vargas, we see that how beautifully they have imbibed this quality too. That we just stand in awe and reverence just to see when they pass by. How majestically they walk. How majestic is their gait. Just like that of an elephant. So here, very aptly, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur is comparing Lord Nityananda Prabhu's gait, that to be like Gajagatim, of that of an elephant. Hari Premon Matta, that he is utterly intoxicated in Krishna Prema. And he is the personification of pure spiritual energy, Paramasattvam Smitamukham. Paramasattvam, that he is the embodiment of Paramasattvam, that of pure spiritual energy of Vishuddha Sattvam. The Lord Nityananda doesn't come within the purview of the three modes of material nature. He is always in Vishuddha Sattvam. He's always floating in pure Vishuddha Sattvam, pure spiritual energy. And his face is always smiling, beautiful smile, enchanting smile on his face. Smita Mukham. Smita means enchanting smile. Anyone who sees that smile just gets captivated. Their eyes get locked. They can't look anywhere else. What a beautiful vision this is. Smita Mukham. Sada Ghuranam Netram. That Lord Nityananda, he's always in so much ecstasy that, you know, he's intoxicated. He's literally intoxicated in Krishna Prema. When a person is intoxicated, what happens to their eyes? They go rolling. You know, sometimes when we are about to have a, you know, due to sometimes low blood pressure or sometimes, you know, some things like this happen when we are feeling sick. That time also we realize that we can have rolling eyes. But we see also sometimes people who are intoxicated, they're always also, you know, they're rolling their eyes. And Lord Nityananda, he is intoxicated in pure spiritual bliss, in pure Krishna Prema. So therefore, his eyes are sada ghuranam netram. That his eyes cannot stand in a straight way like that. His eyes are always rolling in pure ecstasy. And Lord Nityananda, he holds his staff in his hand. A very specific reason why Lord Nityananda holds his staff. You see, the role of the guru is that the guru is as heavy. It is said that guru is a heavy personality. Why they are heavy? Not because of their weight, but because they have to be heavy with their disciples. They have to teach their disciples to take them from the darkest modes of ignorance, to pull them away from the darkest modes of ignorance and make them float in Vishuddha Sattva. To take them from the material energy and transform them into pure spiritual energy. It takes a lot of work. So sometimes, like Srila Prabhupada would say, when he gave training to the Gurukul teachers in the beginning, Srila Satsav Das Goswami Maharaj, he remembers, that Srila Prabhupada taught that every Gurukul teacher must have a cane in their hand. The cane is not meant for beating, Srila Prabhupada said. But it should be there just to know that, you know, the teacher is there to chastise. If you do anything wrong, you just show the cane. You don't beat the children with the cane. But you show the cane. That is a disciplinary act. So similarly, Lord Nityananda, carrying his staff is to discipline anyone who seeks shelter of Lord Nityananda's lotus feet. That it is his ultimate duty to discipline the living entities so that they can be, you know, dragged away from the material modes and be transformed into Vishuddha Sattva state. So Lord Nityananda always carries a staff in his hand. And by the performance of Sankirtan yagya, he dispels the forces of Kali. Kalita vetram kalibhidam. So he dispels all ill effects of Kali Yuga simply by the performance of the Nama Sankirtan. How beautifully Lord Nityananda Prabhu, you know, delivered Jagai and Madhai. We know the pastime. We've heard the pastime so many times. How merciful Lord Nityananda is. Even Haridas Thakur and Advaita Acharya Prabhu, they wanted to run away from Jagai and Madhai. And in fact, the first day when the two brothers chased behind Nityananda, Haridas and Advaita Acharya, they ran for their lives. Even Nityananda Prabhu ran for his life. In fact, Haridas and Advaita Acharya held the hand of Nityananda and ran from there. And they both, Nitai, you know, they just dragged Nitai from that point and they came in front of Lord Chaitanya, Haridas and Advaita Acharya Prabhu, and they complained to Lord Chaitanya that from tomorrow, I'm not going to go out, especially Advaita Acharya said, I'm not going to go out with this mad Nityananda. He's Avadhut, he's a mad man. He's going and telling Jagai and Madhai to chant the holy names. So Nityananda Prabhu said, oh, Mahaprabhu has instructed that everybody should be given this order that please chant. Bolo Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Koro Krishna Shikha. This is Mahaprabhu's instruction. So why should Jagai Madhai not be given this kind of mercy? Advaita Acharya said, you go give them mercy, I can't. I'm sorry. You know, Advaita Acharya Prabhu, he begged for mercy from Mahaprabhu and from Nitai. He said, from tomorrow I'm not coming. I am old man. You know, I can't deal with all of this. The next day only Nitai and Haridas. Again, Nityananda Prabhu dragged Haridas Thakur and he said, let's just go one more time. Let's go one more time to see the two brothers. And the second day when they came, Madhai got so agitated. He got so irritated because, you know, he was in the darkest modes of ignorance. And Nityananda Prabhu, when he saw both the brothers, you know, compassion was just overflowing in his heart. But Madhai, especially Madhai, could not take it. So he just took a broken piece of earthen pot and he just took that and he hurled it at Nityananda. And that earthen pot hit the lotus forehead of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And blood started oozing out from the personality of the Adi Guru, Lord Nityananda. And even in that condition, Haridas, as soon as he saw that Lord Nityananda Prabhu's forehead was cracked and, you know, there was blood flowing down from there, Haridas Thakur ran to Lord Chaitanya to inform him that Nityananda Prabhu, he just was not able to run from there. I will have to take a brief pause. Give me 1 second. I'm so sorry, but it seems that my laptop is running out of charge. Give me 1 minute. I will just get the charger and I will be right back. Please forgive me for this. Otherwise, the video will be interrupted. I'll be right back. Hare Krishna. I apologize for this. And the yoga and meditation, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me, Hare Krishna. So, Lord Nityananda, he was in this way so much hurt by Madhai. But in spite of that, Madhai was told by Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda, in that condition, when blood was oozing out of his forehead, he still came to both the brothers and said, "Don't worry, it's okay. It's absolutely okay. You still just chant the holy name of Gauranga one time. Just take the holy name of Krishna one time. Say Krishna from your mouth." And hearing that, Jagai, immediately, Jagai fell at the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. That how can a person be this merciful? How can a person be so compassionate that even though this person is beaten up, but still, he's not retaliating. He's just giving love. How can a person be this merciful? And Madhai, at that moment, Madhai was shocked. He was in a state of shock. Because Madhai never experienced something like this ever before. Both the brothers have beaten people up, but the reaction has never been this. The reaction has always been that if Madhai and Jagai would beat up people, they would either run away or they would beat them back. Either of this would happen. They would either get beaten up by whoever they beat up or people would run away from them. This kind of reaction has never happened before. Never happened. So Madhai was in a state of shock that what is happening? How can this be? How can a person be like this? And Jagai, because Madhai was standing at a distance, he was shocked. He was in a state of shock. And Jagai just went and said, Madhai, just come, surrender to this personality. Beg for forgiveness for what you have done. Don't do this, Madhai. Come. Come and seek shelter. But Madhai was still in a, you know, he could not, you know, his reaction was that he was completely lost. He did not know what to do, how to react. And Nityananda Prabhu, he was just talking to Madhai and trying to convince him that, Madhai, it's okay. Don't be worried about what you have done. I am here to just give love to you. Please just take the name of Krishna. And Madhai, the more Nityananda Prabhu was speaking, Madhai was becoming more and more bewildered. More and more bewildered. And at that moment, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared on the spot. And Mahaprabhu, when he came, he saw that Lord Nityananda was bleeding. He didn't have to see anything else. He immediately invoked Sudarshan. Mahaprabhu did not wait for anybody to tell also what had happened. Mahaprabhu could immediately understand. And he wanted to chop off the heads of Jagai and Madhai for their heinous crime that they had done. But Lord Nityananda, he fell at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. He said, Mahaprabhu, please, if you are going to kill Jagai and Madhai, you have to kill every particular living entity in Kali Yuga. Because everyone is either Jagai Madhai or worse than Jagai Madhai in Kali Yuga. And my dear Lord, you have come here in this yuga. You have come to just give mercy. You have come just to give your compassion and not to kill the demons, but to kill the demoniac natures which is there in every person. So please, my Lord, don't do this. That was the first time in the history that Sudarshan went back without doing its job. When Sudarshan is invoked, there's very rare occasion when Sudarshan does not do what he has been invoked to do. Unless a pure devotee intervenes. We see the same that happened with Durvasa Muni and Ambarish Maharaj. The Sudarshan would not leave Durvasa Muni. The Sudarshan followed Durvasa Muni everywhere, even to Vaikuntha. Durvasa Muni went all the way to Vaikuntha, to Lord Narayan himself. And at that time Lord Narayan said, I can't do anything. You have offended my devotee. I can't do anything. The Sudarshan is going to do its job. Then Durvasa Muni said, how am I going to get saved? What can I do? Ambarish Maharaj is the answer. My dear Durvasa Muni, Lord Narayan said, that you go and beg forgiveness from Ambarish Maharaj. If he forgives you, then Sudarshan will come back. Otherwise, he's not coming back. Sudarshan will not leave you. So Durvasa Muni, all the way from Vaikuntha, he ran down and came and seeked shelter at Ambarish Maharaj's lotus feet. And when Durvasa Muni did that, Ambarish Maharaj was, Vishnu, Vishnu, what are you doing, my dear Guru? Please don't do this. You are my Guru Varga. You are like a spiritual master to me. What are you doing? And then Durvasa Muni said, look who's behind me. Sudarshan is behind me. You have to forgive me. And Ambarish Maharaj said, what offense? I have not taken any offense. He said, you may not have taken offense, but your Lord, Sri Krishna, he has taken offense and he sent the, you know, Sudarshan behind me because I offended you. So although the devotee never takes offense, a pure devotee of the Lord never takes offense for anything, any atrocities that are done to the devotee. A devotee never takes offense if they are pure devotees. They never take offense. But the Supreme Lord does take offense. So that is something that when we offend a devotee, we should remember there are two components to it. It is offense to the devotee and it is offense to Krishna. That if it is a pure devotee, the pure devotee always forgives. They never even take any offense. But Krishna, he takes offense. And then the mercy coming down from Krishna is interrupted. We don't get any mercy coming down from Krishna. And based on the gravity of the offense, we may not deserve the Sudarshan Chakra to come upon us, which can come in many different ways, though. But mercy is stopped. So therefore, we should be very, very attentive and careful about Vaishnava Aparad. Because Krishna takes offense. So Ambarish Maharaj said, Durvasa Muni, I don't even know that you were offended. You thought that I am offended? No. I thought that I offended you. Durvasa Muni said, no, Ambarish Maharaj, you didn't offend me. I have offended you. And Krishna has taken offense for that. That's why he sent his Sudarshan behind me. Just say that you forgive me. Otherwise, if you don't say it, this Sudarshan is not leaving me. Ambarish Maharaj said, well, as a service to you, I'm saying that I forgive you, but I have not taken any offense. And as soon as Maharaj Ambarish said that, yes, I forgive you, Krishna immediately retracted his Sudarshan Chakra. The chakra went back without doing its job. And then now, when Lord Nityananda so mercifully begged for the mercy of Lord Chaitanya upon Jagai and Madhan, seeing that compassion, seeing that overwhelming love that Nityananda Prabhu has for Jagai and Madhan, that defroze Madhan. At that time, Madhai started thinking, what a personality is this? How can anyone be so compassionate? So immediately when that happened, Madhai just came, he came running and he caught hold of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda and said, please, please, forgive me. Nityananda Mahajan, please, please forgive me. Seeing this, witnessing the way Madhai came running and seeked shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, at that time, Mahaprabhu sent back his Sudarshan Chakra. And Nityananda Prabhu immediately, he just picked up Madhai and he embraced Madhai. He embraced Jaghai. And he brought both the brothers in front of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu gave Tulasi leaves in their hands and said, offer it to Lord Chaitanya and promise that from today you both will not be engaged in any sinful activity and that you will chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, forgetting all your previous, you know, days of, you know, sinful actions. Both the brothers promised. That was their initiation. And as soon as both the brothers offered Tulasi leaves in the hand of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, for a moment, everybody saw that for a moment, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu's golden complexion turned black. That was the effect of the sins of Jaghai and Madhai. And at that very moment, the entire planetary system shook. And Chitragupta, in Yamaloka, he fainted. And when he fainted, after some time, he came back to consciousness because he was writing, you know, he had people under him who he had actually created a separate department just to keep track of the sinful activities of Jaghai and Madhai. His people were working overtime, this special department. It was named as Jaghai Madhai's department. That was how much sins these two brothers would commit every moment. Chitragupta had a separate department, he had separate people, and they were all working overtime. And suddenly he notices that the book is clean, it's white. Where did all the sinful writings go? Where did all the, you know, the accounts that we were keeping? It's all zero right now. Trial balance, zeroed out. What happened? So Chitragupta, he brought, you know, the Jaghai Madhai department, his men, and all of them, they came in front of Yamaraj, and they said, my lord, there's something very seriously wrong. Very seriously wrong. Yamaraj said, oh, what's wrong? Chitragupta said, look, Jaghai Madhai's books, they've been wiped clean. Where did all their sinful reactions go? And Yamaraj said, hey, Chitragupta, you always messing up. Don't do this. I have actually got an entire department working on a separate, very special hell to give punishment to the wrongdoings of Jaghai and Madhai. I have special, you know, hell that I'm designing for them. And I have people who are working overtime for that too. And now you're coming with this? What's wrong with you? Let me see. You must be drunk or something. Let me see what you have. And as soon as Yamaraj took the accounts book of Jaghai and Madhai, and he saw everything is white, Yamaraj fainted. Yamaraj fainted, and the only way that Yamaraj could be revived, Chitragupta knew what to do. So Chitragupta sent a mental message to Lord Shiva, who is a very, very dear friend of Yamaraj. And Lord Shiva, immediately leaving his Kailash, he came to Yamaloka. And he came to Yamaloka, and in the years of Yamaraj, Sri Mahadev, he just said the name Gaura Gaura. And hearing the transcendental names of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Yamaraj opened his eyes, he came back to external consciousness, and he said to Mahadev, you are here, what has happened? And Lord Shiva narrated the entire pastime of the mercy, the compassion, the supreme mercy of Lord Nityananda, because of which Lord Chaitanya was bound to give his mercy to these sinful people, Jaghai and Madhai. So hearing that, you know, Lord Shiva and Yamaraj, again, when Lord Shiva was narrating this to Yamaraj, he was in ecstasy of Gauranga praying. So there was a very, very beautiful kirtan led by Lord Shiva himself, participated by Yamaraj. They all did a beautiful kirtan in Yamaloka, glorifying Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and the mercy and compassion of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. You see, Yamaraj, Lord Shiva, these are Mahajans. They are great personalities. But they are just in charge of different tenets of, you know, doing some very special task on behalf of the Lord. But they are pure devotees. Yamaraj is a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there was very nice kirtan in Yamaloka. And then after settling all this, then Lord Shiva went back to Kailash. Yamaraj said, okay, the department that we set aside for Jagai and Madhai, everything dismantled, that special hell, let's keep that in reserve for the next Jagai Madhai. But this Jagai Madhai is released. They're never coming to hell. That is the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. That he can go against the laws of nature to save a person, to save a living entity. So with his ultimate compassion of the Namasankirtan, the performance of Namasankirtan, Lord Nityananda reclaims the fallen conditioned souls by his mercy and compassion. That is what is glorified here in this first verse of Sri Nityananda Ashtakam. Today we will end here in this first verse. From next week onwards, we'll try to cover two or three verses every time so that we are able to finish Sri Nityananda Ashtakam in the next 2 to 3 sessions. So we thank you very much for participating here, and we'll end here today. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Nityananda Rama ki jai. Hare Krishna. If there's any questions, comments, or reflections, we can take that now. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for a wonderful class, Mataji. It was so nectarian, as usual, every time. If anybody have any questions or realizations, please go ahead.
Go ahead, Vinita Gaudavita.
Mataji. Okay, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much for a beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you so much for speaking with Nityananda. I can see the disturbances, Mataji. I'm getting echo. Is anybody else getting it? I don't know. Okay. Hare Krishna, Mataji. So beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you so much for speaking on today on Guru Maharaj Vyasa Pujya about Guru, Adi Guru. It was so nice, Mataji. Starting our day with a very nice mood of our gratitude towards the Guru Varga. And thank you so much, Mataji, for such a beautiful class. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Yes. Today is a very special day also for all of us, disciples of Srila Jayapataka Maharaj. Today is the 71st Vyasa Puja of Srila Jayapataka Maharaj. So we pray to Lord Nrisimhadeva and to Lord Nityananda and to the presiding deity, Sri Sri Radha Madhava Ashtasakhis, and to Srila Prabhupada, and to all the assembled Vaishnavas that please, pray for Srila Jayapataka Maharaj and also to bless all of us, his disciples, so that we can continue our service to him and please him. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Kalasuddha Mataji. Thank you so very much for a wonderful class, as always. And I'm truly grateful for the reminders, as you spoke of Lord Nityananda's compassion and his forgiveness. Such as Mataji just said, it's such a good reminder. It's such a good way to start the day, you know, thinking about these things as we go through so many challenging times. So thank you for the class. It was beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you, Tiffany Mataji. Thank you so much for your comments.
Hare Krishna, Dandat Pranam, thank you so much for your wonderful class, and we are so much grateful to start our day. We really appreciate it for setting up the Bhakti Sangha Japa Group and everyone. Thank you so much. Hare Bol, Hare Krishna Mataji, such a nectarian class. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Thank you so much for the class.
Thank you.
I just had one question. You were speaking of the fact that the devotees, they don't take offense. So I think that one reason why they don't take offense, if I'm not mistaken, is that they see everything that happens to them, at least the negative things, as their karma. So, you know, I know in Ambarish, as you said, in Ambarish Maharaj's case, he was also thinking that he had committed an offense to Durvasa Muni. So I was just wondering if there are any other reasons for why devotees don't take offense to the negative things that happen to them.
Yes. Very good question, Mataji, as always. Very wonderful, practical question. Well, the reason why devotees don't take offense, pure devotees actually, I would not say just devotees, I would say pure devotees don't take offense because, first of all, yes, what the reason that you gave is correct, that, they think that it is their karma. They not only just think it's their karma, but rather they think that they deserve worse than this.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they think, that they deserve much, much more than what Krishna is mercifully giving them. And they also think, actually they think less of themselves and think of others more. The thing being that they consider themselves to be so fallen genuinely, and they think that everybody is far more advanced than them. What to speak of pure devotees, Srimati Radharani thinks like this. Srimati Radharani is of the opinion that I'm the least qualified to serve Krishna. And that is why she's always looking for sincere souls who can come and do service, and she engages them in service. If she would think that she is the best, and that there is nobody else who can do service to Krishna other than her, then where would we even have a chance to render service to Krishna? Because Srimati Radharani, out of her mercy, out of her compassion, out of her pure love, she thinks that she is the most undeserving to be rendering service to Krishna. That's why she engages everybody else in the service of Krishna. That is her position. That is her compassion. So the pure devotees, they also think like this, following in the mood of Srimati Radharani, that they are the most undeserving, that, you know, everybody else is deserving to render service to Guru and Krishna, except for me. I don't deserve it. So I'm the most fallen, you know. There's a quote by Srila Radhanath Swami Guru Maharaj. He says, humility doesn't mean to think less of oneself, but to think less about oneself. There's a difference in it. I'll repeat it again. Humility does not mean to think less of oneself, but to think less about oneself. There's a difference between the two. Less of oneself means that, you know, or less about oneself. What is the difference between the two? When we say that, oh, I'm very humble, I'm very fallen, I'm very this, I'm very that, all this is, you're just thinking less about ourselves, right? That we are very, very fallen, we are very this, we are very that. But that we, that I, is always there. That in itself is a, we are just being very proud that we are humble. That's a trap. But humility rather means to think less of oneself. Means we should not think about ourselves. We should only think about others. We should only think about our Guru Vargas. We should only think about Krishna and think less about ourselves. Then, you know, we are in the right path. So that's the consciousness of a pure devotee. That they think less of themselves and more about others. That's the way they express their humility. That's the way, by just by glorifying others, you're not glorifying yourself. The more we just keep glorifying others, you know, Srila Prabhupada, look at the way Srila Prabhupada led his life. Srila Prabhupada, he would never think about himself. Srila Prabhupada would never say that, oh, look, I have this problem, I have that problem. No. Srila Prabhupada, although he created such a big movement, Srila Prabhupada was always very lovingly concerned even if one of his disciples had a toothache. That was the compassion of Srila Prabhupada. That he would think less about himself and think of others, you know. So that is how a pure devotee thinks. That I don't deserve this. And therefore, they don't take any of it. They don't just keep themselves in the equation at all. They're not in the equation. So what is there to even commit offenses to a person who doesn't even exist in an equation? You know? That's how a pure devotee thinks. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, so when you say that for them, they don't exist in the equation, that I'm just trying to maybe put it in a way that I can understand it better. You know, they think so little about their own welfare, let's say, that I guess it doesn't even occur to them that somebody could have meant them harm, because, you know, they're not even significant enough for another person to matter that much to another person, for another person to want to do them harm. Right? Like that? Like that's how insignificant they think they are.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. I just want to follow up, too, because you brought up the subject of the pure devotees thinking that everyone is doing service better than they are, even Radharani. So just trying to understand that mood a little bit better. You know, one thing I've heard is that, you know, we can't actually really, like, kind of intellectually understand that mood. The most we can do is, like, maybe attribute it to the emotions that arise out of that level of love, you know, like it's an emotional kind of feeling, you know, not that they're analyzing, okay, this person actually does, you know, when I compare my service to this other person's service, if I analyze it, then yes, that person does better or I do better. So it's like, is it something like that, something that arises out of their emotional, you know, response to that level of love?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, Mataji. Thank you so much.
All right. If there's no more questions, we can end here.
Yes, Mataji. If nobody has any question, we can end the call here, paying our respects to Hargesh Kalal Shubha Mataji and to all the devotees. Vancha Kalpatarukyasya Kripa Sindhu Hevacha Patitanam Pavnevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah Ananta Koti Vaishnavandaki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Hargesh Kala Shubha Mataji Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Ananta Koti Vaishnavandaki Jai. Thank you.